Usually scripture reading is done by everyone, but I really wanted to read the scripture for us today and allow you to meditate on the words of God. I ask you to either close your eyes during the reading, or you can follow along the words on the PowerPoint. It's a very familiar psalm to some of us, to most of us, but I think it's good for us to just pause and let the word of God minister to us. Psalm 19, it's a psalm of David. The heavens declare the glory of God. The skies proclaim the work of his hands. Day after day, they pour forth speech. Night after night, they reveal knowledge. They have no speech. They use no words. No sound is heard from them. Yet their voice goes out into all the earth, their words to the ends of the world. In the heavens, God has pitched a tent for the sun. It is like a bridegroom coming out of his chamber, like a champion rejoicing to run his course. It rises at one end of the heavens and makes its circuit to the other. Nothing is deprived of its warmth. The law of the Lord is perfect, refreshing the soul. The statutes of the Lord are trustworthy, making wise the simple. The precepts of the Lord are right, giving joy to the heart. The commands of the Lord are radiant, giving light to the eyes. The fear of the Lord is pure, enduring forever. The decrees of the Lord are firm, and all of them are righteous. They are more precious than gold, than much pure gold. They are sweeter than honey from the honeycomb. By them your servant is warned. In keeping them, there is great reward. But who can discern their own errors? Forgive my hidden faults. Keep your servant also from willful sins. May they not rule over me. Then I will be blameless, innocent of great transgression. I'd like us to read these words together as a prayer before we begin. May the words of my mouth and this meditation of my heart be pleasing in your sight, Lord, my rock and my redeemer. Well, open my eyes. I'm going to share with you some reflections that I have on Psalm 19. I was actually very nervous, but when I saw how nervous John was, I kind of felt a bit comforted. So as we sang the songs, I think this is all I desire to, that we would see God during this time, okay? And I just want you right now to think of two things that you see most when your eyes are open. What are the two things that you see most? It could be a person or people. It could be your laptop. It could be your handphone. It could be a book that you're trying to catch up your reading on. What are the top two things on your list? Nowadays, many things catch our eye. Whether we like to, many things catch our attention. In fact, as we talk about the internet, it opens our eyes to worlds beyond what we know, times beyond our times. And so I think more than ever, we really need to be discerning about what we open our eyes to. And so I pray that as we reflect on Psalm 19 together, that the Lord will open our eyes to his truth today. We know that the book of Psalms, everyone knows the book of Psalms, you know, you just turn open right in the middle of the Bible, you find the book of Psalms. But Psalms, while we can relate to them and we read them very often, sometimes they can be very difficult to understand because there is a whole lot of imagery, imagery that we may not be used to because we are not in the time of the Israelites, we're not in the time of David. And sometimes the psalmists repeat themselves. And that's something that we usually call parallelism. And that's why I wanted us to hear the word earlier, to take time to hear, because then we realize that the psalmist is not just repeating the words, but he's trying to convey something else with that repetition. It's also helpful for us to know that the psalms fall into different categories, okay? There are different kinds of psalms. There are hymns, there are laments, There are hymns on kingship, royal psalms, songs of thanksgiving, wisdom, psalms, trust, confidence. But uniquely, Psalm 19 is both a hymn as well as a wisdom psalm. And for this reason, I realized that there are many songs that are usually a song is only the first six verses or the next seven verses. And there are even scholars who think that, you know, it was wrongly put together. Okay, but I do believe and I hope that we can see that David, when he wrote this psalm, he wanted to convey something very unique. And verses 1 to 6, verses 7 to 11 are just a part of him helping us to open our eyes to what God wants us to see. Okay? All right. Okay. So in verses 1 to 6, we have a lot of images. Okay? So Psalms are all about imagery. And we have the images of the heavens, the skies. And I'm so glad because yesterday the sun came out. You know, I'm really, really glad because I was like, oh no, how are we going to look at the sky if, not that we can look, but how are we going to look at the sky and view the glory of God if all we see is rain? But we see images of the heavens, the skies. We also see images of a tent, the sun, a bridegroom, and a champion. And I'm going to briefly go through this because I don't want to spend too much time. But yeah, I don't want us to miss out on what we can learn. You realize that a lot of the words that are being used are words of speech, declaring, proclaiming, speech, revealing. But yet in verse 3, it says, they have no speech, they use no words, no sound is heard from them. And it's true, isn't it? You can't hear anything. They don't have a mouth to speak. But verse 4 says, yet their voice goes out into all the earth, their words to the ends of the world. Indeed, creation speaks with a loud voice that everyone can hear. Let me see, yeah? Oh, and it's unceasing. It's day after day, it's night after night. This word goes forth. It's a word that everyone can hear. The other day, I was with my father, and my father has dementia. But we could look at the sky and he could appreciate the beauty of the sky. And those are the words that we can hear and the psalmist wants us to hear. In the heavens, God has pitched a tent for the sun. In the ancient Near East, the sun was commonly viewed as a deity and it was usually worshipped. Because night or day, it determined whether it was night or day, it warmed the earth. It was necessary for their crops to survive, and so many of them worship the sun. But here David tells us that God is the one who is in charge of where the sun goes. He is the one who puts the sun in its place, who determines its purpose. And the sun, like a radiant bridegroom who has just married his bride, like a beaming champion who has completed and won the race, nothing is deprived of the warmth of the sun. I prefer the NIV 1984 version, which says, nothing is hidden from its heat. And truly, the voice of creation reveals the glory of God. And Dr. Chris will be very glad because I remember this as general revelation, right? I'm sure those of you in the doctrine of God would remember this is really general revelation. This is how God reveals himself to all his creation. It's a very powerful way. But then in verses 7 to 11, David shares another way that God reveals himself to us. And this time more personally to his chosen nation, Israel. I realized as I was doing my slides just now, I made a very, very big mistake. But I always think that mistakes are good because they will help you to remember. David attests in these verses from 7 to 11, if you all look at your Bible, the word L-O-R-D, do you notice that it's all in capital letters? The ones on my slide are not, okay? So that's the mistake that I made, because you will see here, it's not. But actually, it does make a difference, because capital L-O-R-D actually refers to the God of the Israelites. It's the personal name that the Israelites have for their God. And so through God's recorded words to his people, he's speaking to his people, he's revealing who he is and his plans and purposes for them. Okay? So take note now, all these, it should be L-O-R-D, it should be the name of the Lord, the God of the Israelites, Yahweh. And so we see in this part, there's a lot of parallelism. What's the difference? Law of the Lord, statutes of the Lord, precepts of the Lord, commands of the Lord. Why does David use so many different words to describe? He not only used different words to terms for God's word, okay, that's in bold, he also uses different attributes to describe the word of God. And the last part in italics, he talks about its benefits for a person. Okay. This just kind of like reminded me, if I have a person, if I know a person very well, and this person is very dear to me, and you ask me to describe this person, I won't just give you one word to describe this person. I wouldn't give you just one adjective. I would use many, many different words to describe this person. And what more the law of the Lord? Because who can describe the law of the Lord, the precepts of the Lord, commands of the Lord in just one word? David does try. But really, if you look here, he recognizes that these are all the attributes, and God's word is flawless. It's perfect, trustworthy, right, radiant. But strangely, from the law of the Lord and his precepts, he goes to the fear of the Lord. And I found it very strange. I'm like, you're talking about the word of the Lord here. Why suddenly talk about the fear of the Lord? But do we remember what is the beginning of all knowledge? The fear of the Lord. And so we cannot separate knowledge of God's word from the fear of the Lord. And so he says the fear of the Lord is pure. Knowing the scriptures is not enough. In fact, knowledge puffs up. But with a pure reverence for God, the fear of the Lord will endure forever. The benefits of scripture are not only for this life, but really for preparing us for a life of eternity with God. And so we go on, the last description of the decrees of the Lord, that they are firm, they are righteous, they are more precious than gold, than much pure gold, sweeter than honey from the honeycomb. And ultimately, what is the benefit, or what is the purpose of God's law for us? Is to warn us so that we will not disobey. And it's also that we will receive blessing when we keep them. This is very Old Testament, you know, curses and blessings. And God desires for us to be blessed. But very often we forget and we need these warnings. Okay, I've lost myself. But really, I think David here paints a picture of God's special revelation to the Israelites, his word, which is flawless, absolute, and benefits them in all areas of their life, not only for them now, but in future. And it's very precious and it's sweet. If you have tasted, you will know that the Lord is good and his word is good. And I'll just move on to the last part, which is verses 12 to 14. So, in the past 11 verses, we've seen the glory of God revealed through his creation and through the scriptures. And David models for us that the right response to God's revelation is a prayer of the heart. It starts with awareness of sin, and then seeking forgiveness, repentance, and a commitment to live and please God. When God's glory is revealed, whether through creation or God's word, the sinfulness of man becomes apparent. We see this throughout scripture. And that is the only right response we can have, because apart from God's revelation, we would not be aware of our sin. We would think that we're still doing fine. Whether it be unconscious, hidden faults, or willful sins that will rule over us. And so often we need to know, have we seen God? Have we met with God? Have we encountered Him? If not, we will continue to live in a life of sin. But it's interesting, right? Jesus is not here yet. Why is it that David can so confidently proclaim that he will be blameless, innocent of great transgression? Well, definitely they have their sacrifices at that point of time. But ultimately, David knows from his personal experience that when someone confesses their sin, the Lord will forgive. There will be consequences, but the Lord will forgive. And so David trusts that God will forgive, deliver, and redeem so that we can be blameless and innocent of great transgression. David's prayer ends with a commitment to please God. As a work of God's hands, created with a mouth, David desires to follow the example of creation and use his words and voice to glorify God. Not only that, David seeks, with the fear of the Lord, to meditate on the perfect, trustworthy, right, radiant, firm, and righteous scriptures so that he will live a life that honors and pleases God. And this prayer is made to his Lord, L-O-R-D, Yahweh, his rock, the one who never changes, and his Redeemer, the one who forgives and delivers. I'd just like to share some of my reflections as I read this. Firstly, I asked God to really open my eyes to see the glory of His glory in creation. We need to open our eyes. I realized that a lot of times I'm just like walking here and there and I'm not noticing what is going around me. And so in the past few weeks, I've actually been spending more time than usual to consciously look up. And I'm so glad the sky is clear now. To look up and to open my eyes to hear, to see and to hear the voice of creation declaring the glory of God. And I'm thankful that we will have an opportunity to do that later. I want to share with you some photos I've taken over the past few weeks. I can't take photos, very good photos at night, but I think some people have, and I asked for permission for this guy on Facebook. And I'm thinking some of you come from places and countries where the scenery is even more beautiful. But we can still see the glory of God in Singapore. Nice puffy white clouds. Okay, then of course you see this is... even these pictures give me hope, and I'm overwhelmed by the glory, the power, and the majesty of God who created the heavens and the earth. This one is taken by one of my young adults. You can see all the cranes. I mean, this is Singapore, but you can also see this beautiful scene. This is from Paul Lee, who takes very many photos. He loves photos. He is a believer himself. This was taken from an aeroplane. They were in the midst of the storm, but he was the only one very happy because he can take all these photos. But, you know, sometimes we need to open our eyes. Sometimes we really need to open our eyes to see the glory of God. This is a photo that he's very, very famous for, photos of lightning. Yeah, and even though it can be scary, but we get a glimpse of how powerful our God is. He is the sun. He is the almighty God and sovereign God who sets the sun, the moon, the stars in their places, who directs the lightning and the rain, and who reminds us of his promises. So I want to encourage you. When was the last time you lifted your eyes to behold the glory of God and his creation? For me personally, I realize I'm someone who actually connects to God best through nature. So it's when I'm walking by the beach, strolling in a park, just simply looking at the sky, that I can connect with God. In fact, even the warmth of the sun on my skin reminds me of the warmth of God's presence. And so when I fail to take time to see the glory of God, I feel a bit distant from God. And so I just encourage you, brothers and sisters, take time to see and hear the voice of creation. The next time you're at the traffic light, okay, must be safe, okay? Don't just walk and look. When you're at traffic light, just look up and thank God. Better still, next week is break week. I know we're all very busy. I know the break week is for us to catch up on our readings and all that. But perhaps you need to be refreshed by the presence of God. Take some time, you know, just to enjoy God, His creation, and it will refresh you. The second way is really asking God to open my eyes to see the glory of God in the law of the Lord. This is something that we all, okay, like for me, I need to be reminded of to intentionally set aside time to open my eyes to read God's word. You're a student, I'm also studying, okay? And I have plenty and plenty and plenty of readings. And sometimes we are so caught up in our readings that I just have to finish my readings. Okay, there isn't enough time. As important as the readings are, we must not neglect to open our eyes to see God through His word, to meditate on the words that will bring us life and blessing. And so if any of you have neglected to do that, I want to encourage you. Please, go back. Since the beginning of the year, I've been reading the Bible regularly with people, with two youths and one young adult. I find that helps me because, you know, sometimes you say, like I did say also at the beginning of the year, what I want to do is I want to read through the Bible again for this entire year. I'm not really on track, but never mind. But it helps for me to read the Bible with other people. We are doing a young adult, reading plan that I'm joining in, and I'm reading together with my son because it's more like if we don't read together, I don't think we'll read it, you know. And so I encourage you, if you are having difficulties reading the word of God on your own, find someone and read together. Okay. For a few of them, they are very young, as in they are young spiritually. And it's interesting that when we read through the book of Matthew, they tell me, oh, this is the first time I've read that you are the salt of the earth and light of the world. I'm like, oh, how come you don't know all this? You know, then you have Sunday school and all that. But I think we have really been blessed as we read the word of God together. We discover who God is. We discover who we are. And we can see ourselves more clearly. And really, as we see ourselves more clearly, we see ourselves as people who are sinful and who need God. While we were reading through Philippians chapter 2, one of my young adults was convicted of how she's been grumbling and complaining. And so we confessed our sin and we prayed that she would become blameless and pure, a child of God shining like a star in the sky in the midst of the darkness of this world. You know, we need these reminders. We really, really need these reminders. If all we're opening our eyes to is the darkness of the world, that's all we will see. But if we are opening our Bibles to see the law of the Lord that is radiant and gives light to the eyes, what a difference it will make in our lives. Finally, am I very early? Okay. I think may we share David's desire to be an instrument of God's glory. Jesus rebuked the Pharisees in Matthew chapter 12, verse 34. You brood of vipers, how can you who are evil say anything good? For out of the overflow of the heart, the mouth speaks. So even as we desire to speak of God's glory, we can't do it from the sinfulness of our hearts. We can't. And so that's why even more than ever, we need the word of God. We need to be meditating on the perfect, trustworthy, right, radiant, and firm scriptures so that whether in word or in deed, we will live a life that brings glory to God. These are some of the reflections that I had on Psalm 19. As I was thinking, this sermon can either be very short or it can be very, very long because if you think about it, there are so many things that I haven't talked about. And C.S. Lewis said this in his book, his only book on reflections on the Old Testament. He said this: I take this, Psalm 19, to be one of the greatest poems in the Psalter and one of the greatest lyrics in the world. You know, and it's not separated. We shouldn't separate 1:6 from 7 and 14. But it all comes together. And truly, I hope that we can really open our eyes to see God. So I couldn't find a suitable song that uses all the words of Psalm 19 as its lyrics. Usually they are talking only about the glory of God in a hymn of praise, or they are talking about the beauty of the law of the Lord. But there is a hymn which I realize some people may not know. It's a very familiar one to me. It's called Open My Eyes That I May See. It's inspired by another wisdom psalm, Psalm 119. And I hope that we can sing this together. All right. So, John.